Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You've been hearing all morning about this story of a serving Irish soldier, Cathal Crotty, from Parkrow Heights in Ardnacrusha in County Clare. He beat a woman unconscious, that's Natasha O'Brien, in a random street attack in Limerick on O'Connell Street in May 2022. He went on to boast about it afterwards in social media, and he walked free from a court after getting a fully suspended sentence just yesterday. Now, before I came on air in the past few minutes, I just spoke to Natasha O'Brien, and I began by asking her for her reaction to that verdict in the court yesterday when it was handed down.
Thank you so much for having me here and giving me this platform. But yeah, absolutely. I just remember walking out of that courtroom and I had so many emotions pumping through my body. I was just completely horrified, appalled. I couldn't believe the reason for the sentence that was given by Judge O'Donnell. It was truly, I feel it was quite ignorant to be telling a victim who actually took a stand, faced her attacker for the first time, that you are so lucky he took the guilty plea. That is paraphrasing, but that is exactly what was being said, that it was so important that this young promising male did not lose his career in the Irish Defence Forces. But in my victim statement, my victim impact statement, I had expressed very, very clearly that my mental health declined. I went on such a downward spiral mentally that I could not complete basic tasks, let alone show up to work, let alone I loved my job. It was amazing. And I ended up having to leave that job myself because I could not function. I couldn't do anything. And the Black Rabbits, they were so fantastic to me through it all. But yeah, no, it was just really, really, you know, to hear that this guy is being, they're trying to back this person to, you know, receive it, keep his life in order. What about me? You know, what about me?
In hearing all of that yesterday and the fact that I suppose in and again paraphrasing Natasha, you know, that the fact that the guilty plea had been given, that was sort of sparing you of going through a trial that could have even taken another 18 months.
Yeah.
I'm sure after everything you've gone through, you know, that was probably time that you would have spared and given.
I'm going to be going through this for the rest of my life. It's always going to, and however I deal with it, it's still going to be there. So to tell me, oh, but you'd have had to suffer for 18 months more. I'm going to be suffering for the next 18 months and the next 18 months after that, and maybe even longer, probably. So it was the height of insensitive. Quite of insensitive to just be giving that reason, and you know, I just think it was completely obnoxious, to be honest. And I really, really had to bite my tongue because I was telling myself I'm in court. It was my first ever time ever like appearing in court, and I had to bite my tongue and go, don't try and shout at the judge or don't try and do something there. But I was, I can't believe this. I really can't. Like, I walked out of that courthouse and I felt so ignored, so defeated. But the most heartbreaking part is that I wasn't actually surprised. I prepared myself.
Had you prepared for there not being a custodial sentence?
I had mentally prepared for there not being a custodial sentence, absolutely, because I received a phone call from my Garda Carroll, did I wish to write the victim impact statement because my attacker was due in court the following Wednesday for sentencing. And I said, absolutely, if it can help. I said that in my head, I was thinking, like, I need to go, I need to do this because there are so many violent crimes. There's so much violence on our streets. There is constant innocent, vulnerable people that zero instigation that are at the mercy of all of this violence. And you see it in the headlines all the time. Suspended sentence, promising young man, suspended sentence. And it's men and women that are the victims. Everybody, but it's the system of justice that we are the true victims of.
When you say, Natasha, that you had fully expected there to be no custodial sentence, like in the era that we're constantly hearing about these, you know, zero tolerance strategies and a zero tolerance approach, but you genuinely felt you're not surprised by what's happened in the past 36 hours.
I'm not surprised, and I'm not. I mean, I hadn't heard anything in regards to my case going forward or anything in over a year, and I had assumed maybe it was thrown out by the DPP for some reason or other, because this happens all the time. So when I got the call that there was actually a sentencing, I was absolutely, utterly shocked. And I was like, wow, this is the best I could even have expected. But at the same time, especially a headline of 2 weeks ago of another young, promising Limerick man who viciously attacked another young, defenceless male, he walked free too. So knowing that, and knowing that he received a character reference in his trial, and that was the reason. Well, you know, he received a character reference, so he walked free.
How hard was that for you? Like, character references are often something, Natasha, that's talked about. Like, how difficult was it for you listening to the character reference being provided?
I can't describe the absolute horror that I had just had to walk past my attacker and stand a meter away to give my victim impact statement. And I had walked back down, and very, very shortly after that statement, a commandant in the Irish Defence Forces stood up and took the stand to explain that the defendant was, you know, very polite and this was very out of character. I would very much hope that it is out of character to almost beat someone to death. And for a commandant in the Irish Defence Forces, their mission is to protect Irish citizens, to stand up there and say, you know, this is a bit strange now that, like paraphrasing, this is a bit strange now that one of our soldiers that we trained is, you know, harming Irish citizens. Oh, this is not very like him, to be honest. Ah, don't worry about it.
Oh my God,
I was like, am I safe in this country at all?
What message does what happened to you, Natasha, send out to other women and to other victims of unprovoked attacks and crime?
Absolutely. I think the real raw rage of my interview outside the courthouse was completely that I went in there today because I am so, so sick of reading all these headlines of anyone getting away with anything. And I wanted to go in there so that there would be an example made to people everywhere in Ireland that you can't just do what you like and you can't just intentionally cause harm to others without repercussions. And the opposite message has been sent out.
Have you spoken to your legal team or in case of an appeal, or is that
an appeal? An appeal would only be possible if there were extremely lenient circumstances in the sentencing. Unfortunately, this sentence is not extremely lenient in the court of law, in the Department of Justice. This is actually a very average sentence when you look at all the other cases in the Department of Justice. And that's the problem. That's the problem. However, I do believe that because there has been an utter public devastation, an utter lack of faith in the Department of Justice, that this now might be grounds for an appeal. Not due to the sentencing itself.
The sentencing is actually quite
in and around the line of what all the other sentences are, which is not good enough.
Natasha, you just wanted to mention, I know, that the pub that were so supportive in your place of work, that were so good to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been made aware that they've been receiving a lot of hate this morning, and I just want to make it absolutely abundantly clear, they did not fire me. I was not fired. They were so supportive. I just could not continue with my normal life. I could not continue to be the person I was.
I want to wish you the very best of luck, Natasha, with absolutely everything. And I know it's very difficult for you to chat to us here today, but I think you've done a great service in speaking out and doing what you did.
Thank you so much.
Not at all.
Platform.
Take care of yourself,
bye-bye.
Natasha.
Bye-bye.
That's Natasha O'Brien just speaking to me before we came on air today. Just so brave and courageous, I think, in talking out. And I feel like an awful lot of you today as well. You know, I'm sure I feel like many of you who've got in touch and sent us in messages and emails. How do we encourage people to come forward when this is the message that we send out? And you can be sure this sends out a message. It sends it loud and it sends it clear. But it's the wrong message that we're sending out. And particularly in the face of the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, on the 1st of April, launched the implementation plan for zero tolerance strategy. This is the third one on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. I have a copy of it here. We heard from the organisation only on Tuesday of this week, Women's Aid. A lot of discussion about this on Tuesday. They had recorded the highest level of disclosures of domestic abuse in their 50-year history. There were 40,000 disclosures in the last year. It's up 18%. They've been talking about this since Tuesday. And here we are talking about this incident and this case and this sentence hearing that happened for Natasha O'Brien just yesterday. Ruth Maxwell is with me on the line today because, Ruth, you've talked to us many times here in Lunchtime Live. You've also survived a violent attack. And I believe as well by somebody who was military trained as well.
Yes, absolutely. And what I find concerning the military-trained men, they are lethal weapons, and their behaviour is it's very calculated and very, very violent. And I do think sentences should be a lot harsher for them, as they are lethal weapons. But concerning Natasha, there, like listening to her, she is so articulate and powerful in what she says. And I know you're saying that this has sent such a dangerous message and maybe victims won't come forward or won't be believed through the character references. And I'm just listening to her and I'm going, that is somebody who actually just believes in herself and her words and everything she's experienced. And if even that message can be brought across, because you're so vulnerable, but everything that has happened to you is so horrific. But to believe in yourself is the number one part of being so articulate in changing and driving forward to really say this is not acceptable. And she's just phenomenal. She really is just phenomenal.
Is the system too lenient?
Yes, of course it is. Absolutely. Like, and Natasha's right, the amount of suspended sentences or, you know, I'm just flabbergasted, as the whole country is, by what happened. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted. Like, it was on the same day yesterday as the Firearms and Offensive Weapons Act for knife assault was only increased from 5 to 7 years, whereas the importing and possession of knives is 10 years. So the victim's life is not valued. When you're looking at sentences like this, when acts are changed like that, you're just not. And listening to Natasha saying that she lost her job, she couldn't continue, I relate to that because the same thing happened to me. And I certainly hope that she's put in an application with the Criminal Injuries Compensation Tribunal for all the loss of earnings, mental trauma and medical expenses. I really hope she has, because it wouldn't make a massive difference to her life, but it's a system that needs to be tackled as well for victims, that there is some small support there.
You know what it's like, Ruth, and I'm sure for you listening to Natasha and her story yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of it probably resonates with you, and it's a, you know, a memory you want to forget, that day that you're walking in through the courts, the doors of justice, to hear that sentence and that verdict handed down. And I can't imagine how difficult that must be for you and Natasha and so many other people, victims that have to do that. But it is a lonely day, and it's something you always hear victims talk about, and you know why we can't have more support services for people on days like that. And then you hear the weight, I suppose, that's often given to character references, and that's taken into account as well. Can you give us a little bit of an insight into that, what that was like for you?
Well, I remember the sentencing for Mac didn't happen on the same day as the sentencing for the two other women in the case. There were five women in total, but the sentencing for the two other women were the day before. So when it came to the next day, I was quite on my own. And I still didn't understand what was going on. Nothing was explained to me. And, you know, down the line, he appealed my sentencing. And he got a lower sentence. And they thought it was excessive. And that was really, really tough. So that is the closest I would get to understanding how Natasha feels and how many other victims feel throughout the country who never, ever got that opportunity of justice in that respect. And it is the loneliest, loneliest place. And there's no post-trial support. You walk out and you're on your own. They recommend counselling. But if you've lost your job and everything, how can you afford that? And, you know, when you're a victim of a physical and violent crime, where are the supports for you? I know we have the Crime Victims Helpline, and that's 116006, and they are very, very helpful. But you need minding and care after a trial. You're not yourself. It takes a couple of weeks for you to kind of digest and absorb everything and kind of come back to yourself in some way. But when you're filled with anger of injustice, and it's horrific. It really is horrific. You're never the same again. And then if you're left with injuries that will never, ever go away, it's lifelong. It is lifelong. It's with you always.
Physical and mental injuries, you know, as well. Yeah. The general impact of the whole thing. Ruth, I've Nolene Blackwell with us. Nolene's the, of course, from a human rights lawyer and also from the women's rights as well. Nolene, just your reaction, I suppose, first of all, to the verdict handed down yesterday.
Yes. So just bear with me one second. I find my phone is on speaker. That's better. Now, so my general reaction to the sentence and to just hearing Natasha there earlier and to hearing Ruth Maxwell, who is a strong and focused campaigner in this area, but particularly hearing what Natasha had to say and just hearing the verdict yesterday, you do have to be very frustrated when you're trying to get a legal handle on this by the fact that, for one thing, we don't have proper sentencing guidelines in relation to this area. So judges have great discretion. And the job of the judge is to weigh up, after deciding that a crime was committed, in sentencing, to weigh up the gravity of the crime against the mitigating circumstances. And in each case in Ireland, it's a different assessment that's made, because in this case, some of the things that were taken into account was that Cathal Craty pleaded guilty, that he it was his first time before the court, and that he had a job. And they are normal things that are taken into account.
But I suppose, aren't they?
They're always taken into account. But they are weighed against the gravity of the crime. And when you hear the circumstances of the crime, and when you hear the impact of the crime on the victim of the crime, you really do have to wonder about that weighing up process in this particular case and in others. And I'm very frustrated that Natasha feels that justice wasn't... I absolutely get where she's coming from, but also by the fact that there is very little for her to be able to weigh it against, because it's in some cases, in some courts, that will happen. In a different court, there might have been a custodial sentence. So the lack of sufficient data on sentencing, the lack of guidelines in relation to these cases for the courts, the lack of recognition in some cases of the fact that, apart from anything else, this was a gender-based crime. This was, while it's called random, it was not. It was targeted on a woman It was targeted on somebody unknown to the convicted man, Cathal Crotty, but at the same time, he targeted her. And as she said, he used his combat strength, and as Ruth has alluded to as well, he used that in order to attack somebody to the point of unconsciousness. It is hard to see where the gravity could be much higher than that, short of, as she said herself, killing her. So I would certainly like to think that at the very least, the DPP would be looking carefully at this, because the DPP has the right to appeal a sentence on the basis that it was too lenient.
They do, but they also can't be seen to react off the back of public discourse either, though.
Of course they can't. Of course they can't. And I am not. I'm not just saying it because Natasha is so articulate and so clear. I'm saying it because we have to have something that recognises that the gravity of the crime includes the impact on the victim. The gravity of the crime includes when it is perpetrated against the woman. Yes, sorry, Andrea.
No, you're okay. Do you know what, Nolene? Like, it's not surprising at all that there is such a huge reaction to this today. I'm not one bit surprised, you know, to see the level of messages and the phones lighting up and the emails coming in since we went on air in the past 20 minutes. So I'm going to make more time. I want to make more time to talk about this today because it is a hugely important issue. And I know people are, you know, have their thoughts and their views and they're angry about this and they want to talk about it. So we're going to chat about it again here just after 1 o'clock on Lunchtime Live. Will you stay with us, Nolene? Will you come back and join us just after one?
I'd be happy to.
Do Nolene Blackwell there, who's a human rights lawyer, also Ruth Maxwell, and my thanks most sincerely to Natasha O'Brien for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan, weekdays at midday,
brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.